to the good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linneken, and I'm with...
James Wrench.
So I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we are talking about step one, which is we admit we were powerless over whatever it is that your behavior that kept you bound, sinful nature, sin, right? Could be alcohol, could be another person, you know, codependency.
Food.
Could be food. It could be emotions like anger, resentment. Fear, worry, all these things, right? Lust. So, and that our lives have become unmanageable. And Kingdom Recovery is designed the way God gave it to me to go hand in hand with Scripture, because that's the foundation of 12-step programs. It's all about Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's God coming to Jesus. And step one is the first step of salvation. It says in 1 John, let me just get it for everybody. 1 John 1:8-9. I'm going to read that a little later, okay. But it does tell us to confess our sins to one another. There's power in confession. It actually gives us the power in our confession. It reveals the darkness. It shines light. When we get honest with ourselves, that's truth starts to shine in us about who we are. In our human nature, then we can receive the power that God has for us, the hope of glory in us. But we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I was reading today with the Lord and doing my own little time with Him prior to coming here. And as I was reading in one of the books that I read, there was such a good, it was so rich that I had to write it down. And I want to share it with the listeners because it goes along with salvation and what we're talking about and being born again. And step one, the whole point of step one is to introduce you to Jesus Christ.
And you were thinking we should let God break in. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So the greatest spiritual blessing we have, this is what I was reading, so I wrote it down. we can receive is when we come to the knowledge that we are destitute. That's so beautiful. And in Romans 3:24, this is the scripture that was attached to that thought. It's being justified freely by His grace. So it's pride that blocks us from God. You know, it's ourself. We have to get out of the way, you know. And the enemy wants to keep us focused on ourself. He wants to keep us questioning who we are in Christ. Questioning, is God doing this? Is God? That's what He did to Jesus. That's what He tried to do, Jesus. So until we get destitute or humble enough, our Lord is powerless in our life because we're not letting Him in. We're saying, I can do it. So we're pushing Him out and we're saying, I can do it. I'm on the throne. And He can do nothing for us as long as we think we are sufficient in and of ourselves. We must enter into the kingdom through the door of destruction. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So, and that's what step one's about. It's about getting honest with myself. You know, every time, you know, when I first was told that I had issues, I was like, oh, no, I don't. You got a problem, not me. You know what I mean? Like, there was always denial. Denial, the river runs deep, you know. And, of course, I don't want to accept that I could be the problem in all of my life. the one and only common denominator. How could it be me? It's everybody else. It's people, places, and things. If they would only, if they could only, if they should only do these things, then my life would be better. So we all are faced with that. And Paul talks about, you know, the sinful nature and the struggle and all this stuff. And so we're going to be talking about all that in step one. And last week we were talking about salvation and the deliverance from sin and its consequences. And the only, you know, I'm just going to read it. So conviction is given to us as a gift of shame and repentance. Even though those sound like ugly words, you know, God can use the enemy uses what God created and distorts it, you know. So there is a sense of guilt that we're supposed to, but not guilt to run away from God, but to run towards him to help us get through it, right? So it is the great mercy of God.
You call that conviction, though.
Yeah, conviction.
Because right. Guilt's a spirit.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus Christ hates the sin in people. And Calvary and Calvary at the cross is the measure of his hatred. So he bore sin for us. All right? That was a decision that Jesus made through his whole entire life, knowing what he was going to be going through. So God will not forgive us because he loves us. That's not why he forgives us. That makes the cross unnecessary. The redemption, it makes it about nothing, what he's done, what Jesus did, what his son has done for us. Jesus had to come. God knew he couldn't do anything without a human vessel on earth to save us. That's why Jesus had to be born. And he created human mankind to be born from a child in a mother's womb. So he had to come as a child. That's the whole purpose. God could not do anything without a vessel to be in agreement. And that's the way he is now with us, because we have the Holy Spirit. We have his breath in us. Hallelujah. Right? So God forgives sin only because of the death of Christ, of Jesus Christ, what he did. God could forgive people in no other way than the death of his son. And Jesus is exalted as Savior. That's why confessing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior is a big deal. It's not, a lot of people love God. God is good. God, God, God. But when you narrow it down to Jesus Christ as God, you see how many people's heads do the exorcist. Right?
Even in the rooms. If you love me, you'll obey me.
Yes. Even in the rooms of 12-step rooms. The moment you could say God, everybody loves, the rainbows are flying, angels are flying.
Well, let's choose your God, you know, the trash can or whatever is your God.
As soon as you say Jesus, they're like, this is not a religious program. And it's not about, Jesus is not a religious man. Hallelujah. Right? So.
And it was, though.
What?
It was about Jesus when Bill did it.
What? What was it?
The 12 step.
Yes. AA. Yes. That's the whole foundation.
That's how he got delivered.
That is the whole, exactly, and that's where, before the big book was written, it was written 3-4 years after Bill W. got saved. Mm-hmm. And he talks about his white light experience, his saving, his born-again experience in his literature. Mm-hmm. They were using the Bible. There's pictures, historical pictures of the Bible, not the big book, at bedsides in hospitals with Bill W. and Dr. Bob. So it wasn't, Jesus didn't come to be martyred. Nope. It was, he came on an assignment. He came to fulfill the law, the penalty of sin, death. He didn't come to be martyred. It's not something that happened to him. It happened because he chose it. Hallelujah. That's important. And in Hebrews 2:9, it says, we see Jesus for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Hallelujah. So when we say we're powerless, it's because we don't have power and authority. And we're not giving the one who does have power and authority over our life so that we can receive the power and authority to step on serpents, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, because that's what we're filled with. We're filled with spiritual junk, not the spiritual beauty of Jesus, of God himself. So when we are out there and not in the kingdom, when we're not born again, we're all, and you know, listen, we're all born into sin. We're all sinners. And it takes that humbling moment in our life to say, yes, I'm guilty of it, that we can actually have him come once we accept him and then receive him as our Lord and Savior, right? It is finished in John 19:30. Jesus said, it is finished. He came and he fulfilled an assignment. God has an assignment for everybody listening to this show right now. If you be still and let him speak to you and get out of your own way, then you can hear that still small voice. I always believe, well, you know, what God really has put in my heart is that his voice is not of volumes. It's that we get to hear him louder when we're closer. Then we can hear the real amazement of God. We hear him when we're so far away because we're so busy, we're so distracted, we can't hear clearly. And then there were times when he sounded like he was yelling, but it wasn't. It was that I was very intimate in that moment with him, that he was so close. He was like near my ear, in my heart. Hallelujah. So Jesus never stood with us and against God out of pity or compassion or sympathy for us. Jesus Christ became a curse for us, right? By divine decree, because God made a decree in Genesis.
Yeah, he said in Romans 5 that by one man's sin, all became sinners.
That's right.
So that by one man's obedience, all will be made righteous. And we're made. He made us in right standing.
Right. Because he created us out of nothing. Creation is out of nothing. It's out of he's the one that creates. He makes us out of something we've already created, and then he makes us into something.
It's the blood of Christ.
Amen. The image and likeness of himself.
Puts us in right standing. So we, because the Bible says, come boldly before the throne. And that's how you see demons come out and how you see people healed is usually when you pray in boldness. But
amen.
If you don't understand he's made you in right standing, then you won't be bold.
Yeah. And the boldness is in his name. We have all power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, listening. The hope of glory. Hallelujah.
It's Colossians, the mystery revealed.
That's right. That's
right. Now, Christ only had one body when he was here, so he can only reach so many people. So he said, well, I'll leave and come back in a million bodies, and I'll reach a lot more people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He planted his seed. And then he had buried and then birth.
And that's why we need the Holy Spirit so he can operate through us.
And that's why we have to believe the resurrection is the big key to the whole point, that he rose again. Hallelujah. Mm. This is so good. I'm loving this. Okay, so step one starts with admitting, confessing, and understanding, believing. And understanding means believing, you know, in your heart, that we need to be saved, that I needed to be saved. I needed to be helped. And no human power can relieve me of whatever sin I was choosing, I was under the influence of by demonic oppression, possession before I was born again. Like, seriously, you know. So we have to confess. It's very important. And that Jesus is the only one who has all the authority and power to save. He is both Lord and Savior of our lives. Okay, so not only Lord is owner of all things, of everything. And Savior is, he's the one that took me out of the darkness into the glorious light. Oh, that's so good. Acts 4:12-14 says, only Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in all the world that can save anyone. The officials were amazed to see how brave Peter and John were. They knew that these two apostles were only ordinary men and not well educated. The officials were certain that these men had been with Jesus, and in his name they were stepping out boldly, like James said, but they could not deny what had happened. The man who had been healed was standing there with the apostles. So when you can boldly speak the name of Jesus, what Jesus' assignment, what he gave us, he said, greater things you'll be doing because there's more of you to do it. There's more territory. Hallelujah. He can influence more people. Right? John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all the other steps that we try to do, we're doing in the natural. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, indwelling in you, those steps are just works. You know, when we do these, even when you when you're in therapy, it's works. It's you have to let the Holy Spirit teach you, lead you, guide you. And the renewing of the mind transforms the heart posture, the actions that we take. Because the more we believe, see, faith, it's motivated by faith. The whole Bible is motivated. It activates. Faith activates and motivates.
You know, that faith is impossible to please God.
That's right. And we have to have faith in his word because we can have faith in things. And the same thing with righteous, being right and unrighteous, right? We can activate truth, but if you don't know the true truth, the truth, God's truth, the word, right, then you're going to be on a false truth narrative that you've been believing and being deceived. And deceiving others because you're convicted in the wrong thing.
And faith is believing the word of God.
That's right.
When he says he's healed you, then believing you're healed. If he says he set you free, then but it's believing in scripture. It's not just, well, I believe I'm going to be a car tomorrow or whatever you can come up with. You know what I mean? And people get mixed up on the one scripture where it says the woman came in daily to the judge and he said, I fear not God, I fear not people, but lest this woman weary me, I'll give her land back. And Jesus was telling the parable and saying about keeping coming to the Lord with stuff, but that's not coming on a promise. A promise, you stand in faith because God said it and I'm going to believe that over the doctor or whatever. It's and I'm not telling people not to go to the doctor. God gave us doctors and our faith grows. We don't just stand out in some big thing and, you know, get ourselves killed. I know a guy that moved in a lot of power. He's dead now. This was like 30 years ago, but God was really using him in big meetings. And one lady lost 180 pounds in her meeting, and his son had diabetes, and he quit giving him the medicine, and his son died because he was not healed. So I'm just saying, we do. The doctors will tell you when you're healed. Don't not tell anybody to go off medicine.
Yeah, and the whole point is standing on, when you go to the throne, you're speaking the word to God. You're lining up with his word. You're not just saying, I want a car. You know,
right.
Exactly. You might be saying,
if you can tell the Lord you need a car, he's involved in everything in our life, but it's the promises that we're explaining. His faith is standing on the word of God, not just standing on, the tree's going to grow there. You know what I mean? You can make up anything people think is faith because you're believing. No, it's not just believing in anything.
Right.
It's believing in a promise out of the word of God. That's what God calls faith.
And if it is a car, it could be connected to something that God has put in your heart that you should be doing. And he will supply. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and then you just stand on God supplies all
Amen.
My needs.
Amen. That's
his riches and glory. You got
Correct.
Scripture.
And then you're standing on a scripture and you keep coming with that scripture. Find the scripture that lines up. If there is no scripture, it's probably something you shouldn't be asking for.
Yeah, and there's some things like that. I mean, he's not going to know you wanted this certain house or something like that. You're not going to find that exact thing in the Bible. So you can't ask him for things that aren't against the Bible, you know? The main thing is, like, when you're asking, you can keep asking if you're just asking for something, that where that one scripture comes in. The rest of them are, you declare it by faith. You know, I'm healed. The Bible says I'm healed. Sickness, you get out of my body in Jesus' name. I'm healed. And I've been healed of many things like that.
Yeah. But I will say, in the beginning, before I was totally convicted about healing, I was just going to him because of with scripture. You know, and it took me a while to get to that place, like faith grows. Mm-hmm. True. But at least I started on that right foundation with him.
And you got more grace for the less you know. The more you know, it's like him taking the training wheels off, even especially start getting in deliverances. The more you know you're protected by standing in God's word and staying out of sin, or you're letting stuff in, then it seems like the less protected you are, because you know how to stay in protection by staying in the word of God, what he's told you to do, and not getting into sin. Where when you're a baby, you get away with,
right?
You know, and you get healed sometimes when you don't qualify, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because
he wants
called
to
grace.
Show you, yes, who he is. Amen. So a relationship with Jesus is the solution. He gives us the keys, all the keys to the power, the Holy Spirit, the ability, the influence needed to overcome sinful nature in order for the transformation. Renewing of the mind and being transformed. Act 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. And in Ephesians 3:16-20, it talks about you will be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. Hallelujah. So confessing, admitting wrongful doings, it's called repenting. Hallelujah. And it's the first step in the program. We admitted. We confessed, right? It's revealing with our mouth where we are selfish, that we are self-centered, you know, in our thoughts and our beliefs and our actions and our words. Hallelujah. We admit. What does it mean to admit? Confess to be true or to be the case. Typically with reluctance. I know I did. I had denial first, you know, because I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be less than.
In the rejection, just because it strips your identity and you're struggling for that identity, you don't even realize you're doing it. And the thought of someone thinking you have something wrong, you're fighting for your life. Like you can't even admit it yourself sometimes, depending on how bad the rejection is.
That's right.
And the people really don't care. They're worried about what's going on in their house. Mm-hmm. You know, there is some gossipers that might talk some, but they're really not. You know, they don't care that you.
And most of the time, it's because you puff yourself up so much.
And you think they believe it, though.
And then something happens where you're not as puffed up in reality, and you're embarrassed, and it's shame, and it's all these things, and you don't want to. Yeah. And then that's the struggle. That's what I should say. That's what the real struggle is. You know, like, how could I be broken like this? But we all are.
Yeah. You know, without him. There's like mature godly Christians that, like, say doing this show, could be in such perfectionism of how this show goes, like that's what's going to move it forward, and you're taking God's grace totally out of it,
right?
And what's going on in the courts of heaven has nothing to do with how good you think you're doing,
right?
It's totally, where's your heart? Amen. Are you ready for promotion? And he may even have to move you to another place because he's got a plan for your life. But when you get ready for it, it's not even where you're at. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's like just staying in his will, Holy Spirit, listening to him.
Praise the Lord. And so what does it mean to confess? It means to admit or state that one has committed a crime. I was committing crimes when I was living unrighteously every day. And sometimes I have to still confess some things, you know, thoughts.
The thing now is crime is legal.
Yeah, a lot of it.
What's crime in the Bible is thought of as normal.
Yeah, right. That's what it's almost like reality. What we used to believe as crime here on earth, too, has become watered down. You know, when we're cheering for people who are getting killed, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Even roll it back a little bit. Like, I was embarrassed. I need shame go right now in Jesus' name. Like when I was, I'm just confessing here, when I was like around 18, I was like the only one that hadn't been with a woman, and I'm praying for God to give me a woman because I'm feeling like something's wrong with me because I'm the only virgin. And then little did I know, I'm asking God to help me sin because I didn't know that was sin.
Right. Right. Praise God. Thanks for sharing that. Somebody needs to hear that. So it means that we, a crime in some way, admit or acknowledge something reluctantly, typically because one feels slightly ashamed or embarrassed. And now I will read 1 John 1:8-9. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Like James was saying, most people aren't even thinking about you. Thinking about me.
Where that's really noticeable, though, is when you're helping people. But you know how many people I help. And the person, you'll be helping them, and they're so concerned what everybody like in the church is thinking or that. And you know where people's heads are at. And like, why do you think they're worried about you? You know? Uh-huh. And, you know, maybe I think they should be worried about me. And like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, you've been saved 3 weeks and you're...
So, ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we're deceiving ourselves, if we say we have no sin and the truth is not in us, that means we're believing a lie. Okay? And we're focused on a lie. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Who? God. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it. So we don't have to live there anymore. You know, we're a new creation. We have to come out new things out of the old into the new. So Paul talks about struggling with sin. And he says in Romans 7:14-25, so the trouble is not the law, for it is spiritual and good. So it's not because we have laws. Laws are out of love and protection for us, even in reality, even in the natural, in the spiritual and in the natural. Even in parenting, as an example, you know, there's guidelines at workplaces. There's laws of our communities. I mean, they're to protect the people, to protect you from myself. Did you want to say something?
I'm just in my head's going about Sharia law. Like, you need to be praying.
So the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So when you feel that feeling of conviction, or the enemy might try to tell you it's guilt and shame, turn it to conviction. Give it to God.
Well, let me just say, shame and guilt's real. It's just demonic.
Yeah, right.
So the spirit of guilt can come on. But when you get saved and you ask forgiveness, God convicts. And once you've asked, like say you had an abortion, because a lot of people have a lot of, once you've asked forgiveness, you're forgiven.
Amen.
And when that guilt is hitting you, that's demonic.
Correct. But you.
But God would convict you before you did it. So to stop you. So they may be the same kind of feeling, but God's conviction is to get us to turn to him. But once we turn to him or ask forgiveness, any feelings about something and thoughts coming to you is the enemy, because he's not convicting you of things you've repented of.
Amen. And that's why we have to give it. So if I'm feeling that way, because, you know, I mean, I did general, I mean, I'm, forgive me, Father, for any acts that I did that went against you, the kingdom, the love, everything. And then as I walk, just talking in my own journey, as I walk, there are times when he reminds me of something. And then the enemy wants to try to take it and bring it to another place. And I'm like, oh, no, forgive me, Father. So we have the power in us to cast out that thought, to cast it out. Because it is the enemy trying to say, oh, she remembers that. Let me see if I can steal her away from the Lord, her eyes from him. And then you just turn towards him.
And I just want to say that different people have different, I call them landing strips. It's just strongholds that the enemy's built growing up, knowing that when we come to the Lord, that he's got his tools to use. And different people have different ones, you know, like mine was guilt, because my mother used guilt to control me, not realizing what she's doing. And, you know, someone may use domination, screaming, spanking. But when you make someone feel guilty if they're not doing good, then what happens when you get saved is you feel like God loves me, and then you do something wrong. God doesn't love me anymore. And that's the enemy just is so ingrained in that. So the like the kid that's bullied, he either becomes a bullying person himself, you know, striking out, or he becomes introverted and to himself. But one of those two manifestations will come from that. So whatever you deal with, you have to have compassion for other people. It's like, say someone has a temper, then I was a quiet guy that didn't have that. Well, it'd be very easy for me to judge. I can't believe he just don't control himself the way he screams at people, but it's hard for that person to stop that because that's the landing strip that the enemy has built in him for 40 years. And now he got saved and he's going to have to get delivered and deal with renewing his mind.
And then there might be something that you...
And I'd be very
that you struggle with that somebody will say, I can't understand why he struggles with that because they're not suffering from that. Right.
Right.
So that's the way it goes. And that's why it's so important that like when now we'll go into like the fourth and fifth step, when we reveal, uncover, reveal, come out of the bushes of these things and they get exposed, it's important to get a scripture. So when I do work with someone, I always say, okay, what does God say about that? Now that we understand what it is. What does God say? So every time you can recognize that coming at you or that feeling, because we are our natural beings tend to respond to feelings, sensories. Mm-hmm. So when we can recognize that, what scripture can you come against that with? You know, because it's the scripture. It's God's word that's going to cover it, that's going to rebuke it. Hallelujah.
And just recognizing it and like when I start recognizing rejection and when mm-hmm. I feel that, when I wanted to defend myself, if I felt that going off of me, and it feels like a high-octane ping in your chest, mm-hmm. like voltage going in your chest, which is hard to catch. I never recognized it, even though I was teaching on it for like a year until God showed me one time when I was manifesting. I can't believe I was manifesting all that time. Teaching about it, didn't even know I was. But from that point on, I would recognize the minute I would feel that in my chest, and I would not say whatever I felt like I needed to say because I knew that thing was motivating my thought life too. Mm-hmm. So if you feel fear like, oh, I shouldn't go over the bridge or I shouldn't, then you need to do the opposite.
That's right. Exactly.
Push through fear.
That's right.
Fear is one you have to push through.
That's right. Because you call it a liar when you
me,
do that.
It hits me writing bills. Mm. Try to make me not charge enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and Romans 7:18, just to continue, says, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Sin is a spiritual thing, okay? That's I want to say to everybody, I have discovered, but I have to come in agreement with it for it to be able to operate freely. So I have discovered the principle of life. This is Paul talking, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to sin, that it is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So Paul is revealing that no law. Did you want to read a scripture, James?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is Genesis 4, 6, and 7. And it'll just help with what she's saying there. Because I know some people don't get sin being a being. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto you shall be his desire. That's personal pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is at the door, and unto you shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. That's basically saying you should rule over him. Sin lies at the door, and he will have his way with you, but you should rule over him.
Right.
And sin is a being. Fear is a being. Right. I didn't get free of fear till, and guilt and lust until I realized these were actually invisible beings that were...
That's right. And what is a being? A living. It's to live. To be is to live, right? So it's a living being.
It's a person without a body.
Amen. So when I'm being in fear, right? I'm living in fear. I'm allowing that being to live in me and manifest through me. And when I say that, in my mind, I'm allowing it to live in my mind, to dwell and manipulate my thoughts, my actions, my words.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when we cast them out, they go in dry places in torment. And so look at it this way. When they're in you, you're in torment. Whether you're angry or you're in fear or you're in guilt. And they're getting to express their nature. So they're just living the time of their life. But when you get rid of them, they're in torment. So would you rather be in torment or get rid of them and then be in torment?
Amen.
And then you're at peace.
That's right. So in that scripture, the one that I was reading, Paul is revealing that no law, that means commandments of God, will ever be able to discipline the sinful fleshly nature of man. No blessing, rewards, curse, or punishments are big enough to persuade natural man's ability to change their ways out of a sinful nature, out of sin. Only through Jesus Christ and the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God can a man be changed from sinful to spirit man. And this is important. The desire to do good is often overcome by the sinful nature to do evil. It will make the thought, it'll make you feel good. I always think of that voice, you know, like, try some, it'll make you feel good, you know, like whatever it was. I think maybe because that's what I was hearing when with drugs, you know, or even sex, to, you know, do it and make you feel good. The battle is between doing good versus feeling good in order to be good. Hallelujah. Right? And what is the sinful, and the sinful nature is the self nature of man. Me, 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 me. My will be done. Right? And if we're going to be, we have to live, exist, be good. All right? And the changed, the only thing that changes the thinking to transform. We have to change our thinking towards Christ, not towards money, not towards man, not towards people, places, and things in our life. So Paul did not walk after the flesh. He was expressing the painful conflict and understood that he could not deliver himself, or no human power could relieve him or deliver him from that selfish, that sinful place, which made him passionately thankful to God for the way of salvation in Jesus Christ, which promises his deliverance from the enemy. That's for all of us. It's through Jesus Christ that we are delivered, we are saved, redeemed, made whole to be in the presence of God. The more pure, so we thank God for Christ as our deliverer, as our atonement, the payment, right, for sin, and righteousness in himself. So I got to get out of myself, and into himself. Right? That's good.
Yeah. If we can just get our self-depression relief.
Right? So, and how do we show our thanks? Through our lifestyle, through the words we speak, the thoughts we have, actions, right? It's our spirit, soul. Words are spirit, thoughts are soul, and actions is how our body responds and does what it needs to do. So the more pure and holy your heart becomes, and that's because we have to grow in faith, deeper, wider, more. We always
faith
ask
to faith.
Faith to faith, glory to glory, hallelujah, becomes the faster you can recognize, reveal sin and shine the light on it. What's the light? The word. Just shine. right there. Well, not right there. I pointed at James, but not you. The empty chair. Yeah. Okay, so these are important little tidbits that you know, we're giving because it helps us walk out our daily struggles with sin. Because God gave it all to us. It's all inside of you. You're fully equipped. The more you know him, the more you grow in your faith and in the word, the more you can reveal what's not of him that's talking to you or manipulating, right? So believers start to see the goodness and holiness of God's law. Then all of a sudden, it's not, you know, like when I used to think God was a punishing God. God was this. God was good. If I was good, then I'd be treated good. If, you know, it was like the Santa Claus God, you know. Mm. And now, even in the cursed is his love. Like, I don't see any of it as a punishment. I see it as a protection for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the shift. That's the transformation. The renewing of the mind transforms you because then you respond to that. I respond to not doing drugs today, not because I was a drug addict in my old man being, because I'm not that person today. I respond not doing drugs to the word of God, to who God is in my life, to the reverence and honor that I have for him. That's why I choose not to do it. I don't have to declare that I don't have to remind myself what I used to be. No. That was before Christ. I am not that person anymore. I don't have to make that declaration. I make choices today based on my relationship with God. And that's how I share who I am with others. You know? I don't always want to remind myself of the things that I was weakened by. I don't need to, because today I have power and authority. Hallelujah. He lives in me. And that's for everybody listening too. So believers start to see the goodness in the law and become more and more obedient to the laws of the kingdom of God. The new man desires the ways of the law of God. And what's the law? The word of God. He left us his will and testament, decrees. He left us instructions on how to live life to the fullest here on earth, even in the worst situations. So have you confessed that you were a sinner and can only be saved by the grace of God? This is important. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This is important. So now is the time. If you know, Romans 10:9-10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. So we can confess a lot of things. I could say things. Thank God. God doesn't take everything I say literally because he looks at the heart. Because when I was a kid, I wish people dead. There would be dead people everywhere. you know what I mean? Like when I was angry, I didn't care. Mm-hmm. But God knew my heart. Even when I didn't know him, he knows us. He knows, you know? And
he also sees like the spirit in us that's controlling us and we don't even realize.
Right. Anymore. So that's why it's the second part of that is confessing. A lot of people confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And then they go around acting not that he's not. You know, living a life that is still in bondage because the heart's not lining up. It's the heart matter. The heart matters. We could say a lot of things from our head up, but it's really from the heart. And that's where it gets really serious. That's why it's hard to confess, because the heart needs to get the conviction. Hallelujah.
That's where there's been some, we call it greasy grace messages.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where, you know, everything's covered.
Yeah, and that's...
These people, you know, they're having sex and everything else. And, well, God, you know... Now, when you first come to the Lord, I wouldn't pressure you. Right. You know that, because I didn't... But it doesn't mean we make sin okay.
No.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Grace, the definition of grace. Let's see if I can get this right. Been a while. God's divine influence upon the heart... the reflection seen in the life. In other words, God's grace is Him giving you the power to change. Yes. And then people see it in your life.
Amen, amen, amen. And, you know, the more you sit with Him in the Word and the more you spend time meditating on who He is and what He's doing in your life, the more your heart starts to, like I was saying before, like the lure is not really to hurt me. It's to hug me, you know, hold me, to protect me, you know, and everything starts to change. Even you start to respect even the lure of the land because you start to see it differently. Like, wait a minute, I'm a kingdom mind now. So I see like a job workforce, you know, like I can look beyond my boss trying to control me.
And just to understand, anybody listen, that the law wasn't, there would be no law if Adam hadn't sinned. There was no law.
Because we didn't need it. Right.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then the enemy became the god of this earth, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Mm-hmm. And he started plundering people. Then God built the law to protect us.
Amen. That's right. Out of love.
You do this and you'll have this protection.
That's right. That's right. And we want to stay in his protection. And the way we do that is by being obedient to his word. So Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes, which means abandons or turns away their sins, them, will have mercy. And James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. This is why we have sponsorship, discipleship, fellowship, so that we can be covered when, or the shield can turn sideways when I drop mine by accident. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how we used to say in Kingdom Recovery that, you know, sometimes we need to turn our shield sideways to protect another person because they lost theirs for the day. They left it home, yeah. You know. So so what's pride? Pride blinds us from the truth. It's the ism, I, self, and me. And we cannot expect God to forgive us for the sins we are unwilling to or haven't confessed. For a citizen of heaven, the entire process of admitting sins, turning from them and correcting them brings spiritual growth. That's how we grow. When we actually do the work, take the actions not to continue that behavior. Like James was saying, we can't just say, I'm covered and I can just continue. No, it doesn't work that way. If you stay in his word, he will convict you even though you're still doing something. Just stay in his word. That's all I can say, you know.
Don't run from them, run to
them. Amen. When we sin, we must be corrected. Admitting error and accepting correction is it's called spiritual maturity, and that's a wonderful thing. We need to be spiritually mature in order to receive, right? I can't receive if I'm closed-minded or if I'm blocked from being corrected, because then I think I know. So pride is a trait of vanity, and vanity has no relationship with God, absolutely none. And vanity is self, what I look like, what I feel like, what I desire. What are people going to think, right? I will be done for me. It's pride means excessive. That's what vanity means, excessive pride in oneself. Admiration of one's own appearance or achievements. The quality of being worthless. That's what it means. And you know what pride means? You know what vanity also means? A vanity dressing table. Oh, I wonder why. Because we're getting dressed up in the mirror at the table of vanity.
Well, it's over America, too. And it's like the insecurity if you don't do that. And I mean, the whole society is built around it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I know that we talk about, I got to self-love, self-care, self-this, self-this. It's called arrogance and egotism. That's it. What we need to be is selfless. Have humility. Have meekness. Be modest. That's a way to say self-care, being respectful, right? And God says, the way I love myself is should be the way I love my neighbor. So practicing with a neighbor how to love can teach you how to love yourself the right way. Rather than looking at myself, I gotta love me first. I gotta love me. No, start loving other people. And then the love will start to reveal itself in you. Hallelujah. Yeah,
the whole thing is that Adam was created in God's perfect love. Mm-hmm. That kingdom is here, disembodied, waiting on the day it's thrown into the lake of fire. It's already been judged, those disembodied spirits. And when they tempted Adam and he sinned, immediately he had all these feelings he never had. Mm-hmm. He felt shame. He felt fear of being naked.
Right.
He felt had to have pride to have shame. And when God came, he hid from him because he was scared. And all this stuff come in. And he didn't know it wasn't him.
Amen.
A lot of the listeners don't know. All the stuff they're struggling with is not them.
Amen. So I want to read Ecclesiastes 1:1-4, and it's the vanity of life, and that's the dressing table of Satan, the devil. So what table are you going to sit at? The words of the preacher, this is Solomon, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. So we can live our life in vanity, in pride. We can have a life in vain, basically. And that produces no result. It's useless. And it means to have or show excessively high opinion of one's appearance, ability, or worth, having no fulfillment in life. We can live a life of vain. Live your life out in vain. That's horrible. It's a horrible way to live. And it leads to powerlessness. That's the problem. So in step one, when we talk about admitting that we're powerless, it's because I'm so full of myself. Pride. Vanity.
Yeah. I just want to say, because I forgot in the middle of the sentence where I was going when I talked about Adam sinning, but where I was going was he was created in perfect love, and immediately he became a lover of himself.
That's right.
And self-centeredness, and everything came in, and that's the problem with the whole human race ever since that came in. If we all are born in that, you don't have to teach someone to rebel. You don't have to teach a kid to get jealous and scream.
That's right.
You know, they don't just habitually act good either.
Well, say mine.
Yeah.
Like they want to grab a toy. I mean, I was guilty of that too. I used to bite my cousins, like till they bled.
Oh my God.
I know. I was violent. I mean, that's how, you know, me.
Yeah.
You know,
and because I grew up too.
I was a violent person growing up. I was a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because I didn't have words. I was frustrated, you know, and thank you, Jesus, that
so
I'm
break
not.
A bottle
and that's why I'm
you,
such a wonderful lover of people. And, you know, like, oh, my God, I really was turned inside out, you know?
Amen.
Yeah, because I was not a good person. I was not. Mm-hmm. You know, I was mean and
sometimes it's
harmful.
Harder for people that are think they're good to come to Christ because they feel like they're good. And they look at...
Well, I didn't... I mean...
No, I'm just saying this.
I didn't think I was a bad person.
No, we usually think we're good no matter how bad we are. We got our reasons why we're the way we are.
I was a fighter my whole life, and I thought I was a pretty good person. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I handled my situations.
And everybody has a moral code. You could take someone that's killing people for a little... Well, I would never kill a kid. You know, they always have their line that they...
Yeah.
And that's why when we get off the Bible, you know... It's like, no matter how bad a person is, they have their something they wouldn't do.
Right.
And why they're okay.
That's right. They're justified in their mind. Yeah. Why they are not as bad.
Take someone molest children. They'll be like, well, if they coerce them into it, well, I would never do it forcibly.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to, you know, I mean, it's like they always, no matter how far sin goes, you have your moral code that you think's okay.
Well, and I
that's
did.
Why we got to get on the Bible. The code, that's on morals.
And I did when I was using. Like, I wasn't a needle user, but I was freebasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought needle users were worse than me. You know, like, yeah. they were like real drug addicts. I was just...
Or I wouldn't sell my body for drugs.
You know,
which will go out the window if you stay long enough, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, we might not think we were selling... Well, I might have thought I wasn't selling my body, but I was.
Well, people sell their body for cars and places to stay, everything else. I didn't
Praise
know.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to live like that today. I'm so blessed and grateful.
And we're running
and everybody listening.
And salvation.
Yes, yes, that's what I want you to do. So, yeah,
all right.
James.
Anyone out there listening, maybe you tuned in and you don't know Jesus, and I just want to invite you that if you'd like to ask him into your heart right now, I'd like to lead you through a prayer. The Bible says Romans 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart that he died and rose the third day, and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto salvation, with confession. It is made. So just repeat after me if you want to ask him in your heart. This is where my life changed. You know, some people pray the prayer and they complain they didn't stick with it, but this is where you invite him into your life.
Amen.
So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Be Lord of my life.
Be Lord of my life.
And save me.
And save me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And Amen. I think we're going to do that every week for a while. I think it's important. I really feel like that.
There needs to be more
there's
than
a need
the churches,
for that.
You know,
yeah. People. And even though I already
TV
believe.
TV, churches, whatever.
I believe that, God's I mean, I've said it. That prayer. I say it every time because it doesn't, it's just a way of humbling and, you know, just telling God I love you and thank you. Thank you. And so even if you are saved, it's just repeat it. It's good to just hear yourself turn your life to him.
Amen.
Right? In Jesus' name, it's so great. And so you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. We're on every Friday at 5 live, except for when there's something going on. And go ahead, James, and then
and
we'll say goodbye.
If you said that prayer the first time and you don't own a Bible, and me, you could call and me or Luann will... get you a Bible if you need one and don't have the money.
Yes, 631-745-7980.
God bless y'all.
God have bless. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
In royal David's city stood a lonely cattle shed.